Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory. Sewing Out Loud.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today, we are maybe being helpful. We might be being helpful, I don't know, to people.
We might just really screw you up, or too. Get you all upset.
That's right.
Mad at us. And
one
all
or
that.
The other. Oh my God, I got the rudest email about our podcast. If you don't like our podcast, just turn it off and please don't email me and tell me how stupid I am. Please and thank you. Bye bye. Wait, we're getting off topic. Yeah, we're so stupid.
Stop. I know. Because people want to be mean.
I guess. I mean,
I know people want to be mean.
I see some things
that I think are like this person.
Unless it's dangerous.
Yes, unless it's dangerous and I think someone's going to like drink poison, I don't say anything.
Except I did share that video of that person dyeing fabric with firecrackers. But I think I was clear.
Because it's dangerous.
I think I was clear about how I did not advise doing that. So
no, that was dangerous.
No, ridiculous.
That was really awful.
That was silly on a lot of levels.
It also looked terrible when it was finished.
Right?
I have seen that particular group of people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do a lot. And it's very, they like to act like it's spontaneous, but I believe it's scripted.
Oh, I'm sure.
It seems scripted. You know, it's like, oh, wow. Ooh, ah. Well, anyway. And a lot of their stuff is very anticlimactic. Very anticlimactic.
Okay, just like.
But I don't write
like
mean
podcast.
Things about them.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't call them stupid. Apparently, enough people are watching them that they just keep me making them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we know.
I want to read that rude one.
I think I deleted it.
Okay.
So anyway, we asked in our Facebook group if you had any sewing goals, and we thought we'd share them and then ask you about them in a few weeks and see if you got there. But also,
now, I have a question when you say sewing goals, though. Do you mean getting something done or accomplishing a skill or any of that?
I just said, do you have a sewing goal that you need a little accountability
so
for?
So it could be just accomplishing some sort of goal or mastering a skill or something,
I said, do you have a sewing goal that you need accountability for? I didn't say, do you have a sewing goal, and then I'm going to put pressure on you. So I said, this is not unsolicited accountability advice. I did full disclosure.
This isn't being mean to anyone.
That's right. Okay.
Mallory's never mean, just so y'all know.
I'm not mean.
Yeah, never mean.
Nope, just stupid. Okay. My sewing goal is, well, I just had one, but now I got another one. I have this excellent fabric from L.A. Finch over here on the cutting table, and I need some new leggings. Like, super terribly need leggings. They are my pants. They are the bottoms that I wear every day.
If you have no pants anymore.
Basically, I have no pants, and the world is starting to open up again, and I need pants.
Certainly no public pants, I can tell you.
That's right. It's beautiful, and actually, then sewing goal number two is I just cut into it, perhaps a little arrogantly, to retest the Rhapsody Raglan, and maybe I shouldn't have used such nice stuff because I fixed one issue with the neckline, still have another neckline issue. I can fix it, you know, I can make this shirt wearable, but I need to adjust the pattern. So those are my two sewing goals. The leggings, got those down. We know how to make leggings, don't we, Mom?
Yes.
So we know how to do that. Shouldn't be a problem there, but, and I have a purple and like a gray, black, and a teal in this fabric. It's a space dyed.
It's really pretty.
It's rayon, poly, and spandex.
Wow.
And so it's kind of spongy. Mm-hmm. And so
kind of
for
scuba divey-ish.
A little bit. Yeah. So for me, it's suitable for like leggings as pants. It would not, though, I wouldn't swim in it. It's a little too,
you think it holds too much
spongy.
Water?
Yeah, I think it would hold too much
water. You know,
water.
I'm going to bring this up about leggings.
Okay, do it.
Because I think we have a great legging program.
We
made
do.
To measure program. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot beat how those leggings are made and the support we give on how to put them together and all that. And not only is that a good leggings course. It's just a good course on how you sew knits and things,
right,
and make seams. And, you know, there's good tutorials in there. Okay. Now, this doesn't have to do with anybody making our M2M leggings. It has to do why you do it and how you do it. So you do need the right fabric.
Yeah.
You need the fabric not only that suits leggings, but suits your leggings
goals.
Your leggings usage.
Yeah.
You know, your purpose of your leggings, right? And I was in class last week, and someone did what's called a straddle, right?
Yeah.
An inverted straddle, which means like you go upside down and your legs are apart, right?
Yeah.
And I could see their entire anatomy through the fabric. Okay. Fortunately, they did have on another layer of underwear. So, but I was just, I mean, I think I almost stared.
Sure. Shock.
I was like, there's leggings out there that are this. I mean, it was like a pair of tights, more or less. You could, you know, and you could, and then as she, of course, straddled and stretched,
there
could
was
see
stretching
through them more. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, And then I had this whole dilemma about, do I tell her? Do I not tell her? You know,
sure.
Do I know her that well?
Right.
You know, I mean, like, if it was somebody I knew, I'd say, your butt's showing.
If it was Mallory, you'd be like, your butt's showing.
Yeah, that's right.
In front of everybody.
That's right.
And then someone you know a little less well, you would take them aside.
But you know what? Sometimes it's good to say that in front of other people. If I could say it to you,
well, right,
somebody else might get the message. And I, you know, and you're always offended by what I say,
slaughter.
So it's not like I'm giving you
just a lamb to the slaughter.
That's right. You're
right?
The lamb. You're the
no, it's a good.
Lamb.
Well, it's a good. That's a teaching device we've used before. Actually, this is the teaching device that people misconstrue as us being like super mean to each other, right? Like in the jeans.
It's the sacrificial lamb teaching device.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's a curriculum thing. Hello.
Yes.
In the jeans darning video, when I'm like, well, I had to learn to darn my own jeans, and I'm saying that like. Of course, I'm glad my mom taught me to darn jeans, and other people are like, you're terrible to your mother, you know. Anyway, yeah, the sacrificial lamb teaching device.
She is terrible to me. But I would just, you know, fabric is important. And I, like I said, no matter what pattern you're using or, you know, how you're drafting or what, all those elements are important to take into account. Because I still feel kind of bad that I didn't say anything to her, but then I don't know her that well.
If you don't know, maybe, it's hard to know.
Maybe I'll get to know her better. You know, it's like some people I would go, woman,
well,
your butt's showing.
And then like when you're buying a pair of leggings, maybe you don't think to like put your leg up over your head and look in the mirror,
you know? And the other thing I thought of is, did they wear thin? Like maybe they weren't that thin to start with.
Good point.
But, you know, she obviously had on light color underpants and, you know, a dark legging. And I just could not believe how well I could see through those.
It was
just like, and you know, I don't know if anyone else noticed because I wasn't.
Okay, so is it Lululemon or Lululemon?
Lululemon is what I said, and I think it's lemon.
I thought it was lemon. So anyway, they got like sued. They had to like send out, you know. We've talked about this before, I think. They got sued for like how sheer their leggings
were. Yes. Well, and that also happens. Now, here's the other thing. It could have been an expensive pair of leggings that. So it was like small, medium, and large, right?
Right.
And she had to choose a size. Mm-hmm. And maybe she was on the high end of that size parameter. So they stretch more. Where if you do made-to-measure leggings, you are accounting for your shape.
So
you aren't getting just two tubes on a waistband that you pull on.
So what I was doing with this fabric from L.A. Finch before you came up here is I sewed it up with my 3TN. And I took that seam and stretched it so hard. And I was like, okay, I should go live and talk about this, you know, for a minute. And I stretched it so hard and everything's fine. You know, it's all good. And I thought, I want to tell people I will never stretch it this hard. Probably not even to put it on my body.
Right.
And then once it's on my body, they really shouldn't be, you know, in a super stretched fashion. It's only about an inch or two of negative ease.
Yeah, it's not that much.
For,
and, you know, I mean, obviously we gain weight or shape or size, and sometimes, you know, maybe you're stretching a little bit more than that original draft. But what I have noticed with mine, okay, that when I make M2M, like, and I'm pretty persnickety about my fabric and how it's going to look and be and feel right. and function in which way, is I will wear it out like in the inner thighs.
Yes. I was telling you that, right?
From like the friction and even the knees. Mm. And I think it's from like bending. Like I will notice that my knees are getting like threadbare. Now I wear my leggings a lot.
The inner thigh area will get pilly on me.
Well, that
is what happens to me.
Yeah, and that just depends on the fabric too sometimes.
Well, like, and like they're the pants I've been wearing for the last year.
But it's not like the butt splits out.
No, no.
Where I think that most of the tension is, where I think the inner leg and like the knees are where the wear is.
Yeah, you're wearing on the fabric there. Yeah. So I was pulling that. Oh, and then another thing that relates to something we said in a previous podcast. I'm feeling a little bloated today. And I came up to the studio and I thought, lucky me. I get to take accurate measurements of my body. Wahoo. So anyway, how about that? All right. We got to get in before we get another mean email.
But I think this is appropriate because goals are goals.
Yeah.
You know, and a goal is... Well, okay, when I put my energy into a garment, I want to be happy with it.
You know, the other thing is with the measure leggings, when I make a pair, when I start to not like the way they fit, since we don't put a ton of negative ease,
right?
I feel like I can gain weight. Like I made those maternity leggings and they lasted for a really long time because we haven't maxed out the ease of the fabric.
That's right.
Where I have found, okay, it's time to make a new pair is if I've lost inches somewhere. And that's kind of where I am right now. Quite a few pairs of my leggings are falling down.
Yeah.
And that's so annoying, of course. And what I actually probably will end up doing is just – My new pattern will probably look tighter in the waist.
Right. And what you'll do is you'll take a new set of measurements and then compare them to what you've already drafted. And you may not have to draft a whole new pattern.
True.
You may just, you know.
Like above the thigh.
Right.
Possibly.
And, you know, trace part of it off your old one or whatever and make some adjustments.
If you've kept track your old pattern and labeled it and stuff, you know, all the things they tell you to do.
I think I labeled it for you.
Well, anyway. Okay. So I need to do leggings. And then the Rhapsody, Raglan, I think I know what I need to do on it. And it's actually something you've talked about, partially something you've talked about, how you like to kind of curve that underarm seam a little bit. I think that's part of what I need to do. But the neckline is still not perfect, so I need to work on that. Those are my two goals. And let's talk about, speaking of like iterative things, Jackie says, in response to my Facebook prompt of, do you have a sewing goal that you need a little accountability for? And I told people we'd put in a podcast. She says, pants. I need to make new pants. I'm a new size now, and I just don't want to go through the pain of the muslin cycle again.
Yeah.
And I think muslin cycle needs to be capitalized. I think it needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It needs to be trending. Yes.
You know, we need to be like, oh, have you, where are you in the muslin cycle?
That's right.
Or have you started your new muslin cycle or whatever? Like, it needs to be part of our vocabulary because,
I'm in my minnow cycle of my.
It can be frustrating, I think. It's like you got to make a whole muslin. I've seen people try to get away with.
You know, there's something about, I mean, I think that's everybody. When you distort your butt, it's very upsetting. Or your crotch line. Do you know what I mean? It's like, where do I go? Where do I start?
Fitting is hard.
Yes.
And then I assume Jackie is talking about like some woven pants. Because I know Jackie has our leggings class and has that down pat, you know? So like the leggings, the adjustments compared to a pair of trousers, you know, are much easier. So, you know, sometimes...
Maybe she should just come over to your class.
I know. Maybe we should... I was thinking she should be one of our local bodies that we measure and draft for the pants drafting class.
There you go.
I think that would be nice. Jackie, hit me up.
Yay,
okay,
Jackie.
So, yeah, sorry about the muslin cycle, Jackie. You can do it. Make sure you have enough muslin fabric to where you're not like, oh, I can't really make another one, or I'll try to skip this next one, or whatever.
Right.
Just have enough. Have it on hand. I was making a muslin of some pants out of twill we have. And it was the most staticky stuff on earth. I sprayed it down.
Polyester in it or something?
I don't know what was going on. Or if it was the time of year or something.
Well, that's true, too.
But, like, I was like, I can't tell how these fit because they're, like, on my legs. Like, it was
there
weird.
There were a couple of days, a couple of weeks ago, that my hair, I swear, stood on end for 3 days. And I could hardly, I felt like Vaseline-ing my head or something.
Yeah. Okay, so Jackie, we believe in you. Just get started on that muslin cycle.
Well, and you usually get things pretty accomplished.
And you're a smart person.
I know you dread it, but it has to be done.
Tara says, patio cushion covers. It's getting warm out. Help me finish it before it gets cold again.
I know.
Yeah. It's like when you get inspired to, like, knit a sweater in the winter.
I've
you know.
Started them 1 year and finished them the next.
Next year,
no problem
yeah,
with that.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
They just last longer that way, right?
Yeah, so Tara is also a pretty prolific sewer. I think you can do it. Tammy says, I need to start sewing ginger jeans I cut out a year ago, and now I have a few extra pounds. I have some experience with this. And you know what? If you cut out whatever, size 8, now you're size 12, don't sew up those ginger jeans right now. I'm gonna sew for the body you have right now. Unless you like know something's gonna happen or whatever. I don't know. I'd put it aside because cutting takes a long time.
I was gonna say
I would put them in a bag.
Label them exactly. Uh-huh. You know, I like you know.
That's what I've done with mine.
Cut in 2020. I was size 8 then. These were my measurements.
Yeah.
And put it away, and you can go back to it.
They won't take up that much room. Get, like, a big gallon Ziploc bag, fold those puppies up, label it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Make sure you say they're ginger jeans or the pattern. You
all
know,
that
you have
jazz.
That. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. But I have some size 8s, and I was like, okay, I should sew these up. And then I think I'm 10 or something right now. And I was like, I'm not really going to.
A 12 teen something?
Work on, a twin. Whatever. It's. They're not gonna fit me, so I'm not gonna sew them up right now, personally. So yeah, feel free to put those away and work on something else if you want to, Tammy.
I had a friend in at her going away party. She was moving from here to Seattle, and somebody said, "When are you moving?" And she had been everybody's buying her drinks, right? And she's just like, and they're like, "So when are you moving?" And she's like, "On the 50th." So she gets that thrown in her face a lot.
Elizabeth says, I want to draft a bias cut top. Related. Does anyone have any literature on how to do this? Elizabeth, give us some more details on what you mean by like bias cut top.
Yeah, like you know? The front is on the bias because you want a certain neckline or like,
yeah.
Tell us.
Because you can like cut almost anything on the bias if you want. Like,
right. And there used to be a t-shirt I made that I cut on the bias, the front, and the back I cut on the grain. Mm. So
okay.
You know, it was the look that
it
gave, you know, it was a drape in the neck, you know, that I liked. It. That it can happen.
You can do it.
No problem.
Yeah. You can give us a little more detail. Yeah. Write a whole big long post about that, Elizabeth.
I love sleeves on the bias, no matter. I love woven sleeves on the bias.
Yeah.
Because they move with you.
Speaking of. Christina says, two words, Jessica blazer. Well, guess what? I've got the main fabric of a Jessica blazer cut out myself.
I think I can Jessica it right over
can
there.
Can you Jessica it? For those of you who don't know, Jessica, the Jessica blazer, it's by Closet Core, and it's named after a sewing blogger. Her Instagram handle is Jessica is Tricurious, and she does all sorts. She sews. She lives in L.A. I think she's like an actress. She sings. She also referenced show choir in Instagram feed.
Well, yeah.
The other day, and so I was like, well, maybe now more people will know what show choir is because she has like a zillion followers. The Jessica blazer is a rather tailored garment. I think that Heather from Closet Core calls it like speed tailoring. So it's not like super duper lots of pad stitching.
You know,
it's
from someone who has done a lot of tailoring and made, you know, blazers in my early years.
And
yes, and things. You know, I made those blazers and I wore them for hundreds of years. Okay? I mean, I did. And fashion's different. It is faster these days. It does change more. It's not as pristine. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, if you look at a lot of the things made like in the 50s and the 60s, you know, they're very, very structured.
Right.
And it's, I like this fast tailoring idea.
Yeah, so it gives you the look of the, and I can't remember. I'll have to look at the instructions. She gives you some options, and there are always things you can do to, like, step it up more or just leave it more simple. So that is up to you.
Because, you know, you could spend, you know, months making one garment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Know, but
and whatever, you know, whatever suits you. But get started on it. Well, it does kind of stink because, like, you got to cut out the main fabric. The lining, all the interfacing pieces.
Right.
Then you have to put the interfacing on.
It's a lot.
Then you got to get your pattern back out and transfer your markings. Mm-hmm. The fabric I'm using, I'm so excited about it. It's that gray with the orange and like red yarn in it.
I think it's black and white, but you think
it's black and white weave,
neat.
And then it's got those bright colors.
It's a very obvious woven.
Yes, it's Tweedy,
Tweedy-ish, almost, yeah,
uh-huh.
Almost chenille-ish in
well,
some
right.
sense.
Well, right, yeah. Now I'm. Sounds like I'm gonna wear a couch.
So there's a, yeah, no, but there's a lot. There's a lot of topography to it.
So I kind of wanted to, because you interface entire pieces of this.
Right.
I kind of want to just fuse the whole thing, like with interfacing, and then cut
and
it
I've
out.
And I've done that.
And I'm like, yep. I could have done
I've
that.
I've done
it's
that.
Fine. But I was being a little bit more frugal, I guess, with my interfacing. And now I'm like, whatever.
Sometimes we're frugal with time.
There you go.
Instead of product or
that could have been easier.
Material.
And then Heather Lou has a whole workshop on that, you know, so if you need that to get you started, if you want to get that, a few people on here have said, I bought the workshop and it was totally worth it. So anyway, Kim says, capsule, I need to do a bit of sewing for myself. So I don't know if that means that she's been having to do stuff for other people. Or what?
Or she's like you and has no pants.
Yeah. Or yeah. She just has no pants. You know, oh my God, I really don't have any pants. I gotta make some pants.
If you wanna be hanging with me, you need to make some pants.
I really need new PJ pants too. Susan says, my sewing goal is to get off the computer and get into the sewing room.
Yeah.
Anything would be great instead of falling down the rabbit hole here. And I'm like, okay, get it. Sorry. Our Facebook group is so distracting. I feel that, too.
Listen to the podcast while you're sewing.
There you go. There you go. So sorry about that, Susan.
I just solved your problem that fast. Right.
Apologies.
There you go.
I feel your pain. It can happen to the best of us. And then before we take break, Carly says, I've had my Triumph for a week and a half now, and I'm still too intimidated to do anything with it. So my goal is to use both the serger and cover stitch to make something for me. Might we suggest some made-to-measure leggings.
Right. Well, and this is what I just said about is your goal to, like, accomplish a skill. And certainly learning a new machine and using it, that has always been, for me, a great way to accomplish a skill, is to look at something, you know, or think up of something I want to make, or, you know, have this goal of, I would like to make that, but I have to learn this to make that. So it would make me learn that skill.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know. Would I make a sample of everything I have to do, like on the Jessica, before doing it? No. I'm just going to make the blazer.
No.
That's me.
But sometimes you will learn a skill on getting, you know, to the, you know, the end product of something else.
Absolutely.
And you go, oh, now I have this skill that I can use on all these other things.
Okay, we're going to take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and hear about ZD's sewing goals and some more of your sewing goals. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your
or
thigh.
Or your head.
Or your head. Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it
right.
will be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He
right.
didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure
from the zero end.
Yes. Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So
yeah.
you've got...
you have imperial. And you... have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or
right?
a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly... At Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where fabulous.
You want
yeah.
something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back, ZD.
What is,
give us a sewing goal or two of yours.
Okay, because I have like 42.
Well, right. I mean.
So should I start with clothing, garments versus my other.
Versus your dog.
And boat.
your dog and your boat.
Yes, other sundry things.
Just, you know what? Just
so one thing I did
read them.
Do, one thing I did do, one goal I accomplished,
yeah.
and it took me like a year.
Okay.
Is refashioned my jeans.
Oh, yeah. Those
okay.
were up here. They're not here anymore.
So what I had done, I have issues with my back. I have a somewhat debilitating spinal osteoporosis that, when I say debilitating, it's debilitating because of the pain. And wearing jeans drives me out of my mind. I know.
Yeah, you can't.
I cannot. Yeah, I put them on. I'm like, oh, these are great. I walk out the door. I'm like, oh, I gotta take these pants off. It's like, it's just terrible. And they don't even, it doesn't mean they're tight or anything. It's somehow the stiffness.
You
of
don't
them.
Like the rigidity of
yes,
the waistband
I don't,
on your back.
It's just really
right?
weird. Yeah.
yeah.
And like driving in jeans is terrible. So I went through my jeans and I picked out all my really stretchy jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I made sure that they had plenty of stretch. And I don't know how much this is, but in my head, it was plenty of stretch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enough for you.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say there was, you know, maybe at least 10%,
yeah.
you know, Lycra or whatever in there. Okay. So they sat up here for probably a year because it was like probably early pandemic or whatever. Because then I didn't need pants.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. You know. And what I did is I cut the waistband off of all of these pants. There was only three pair. I say all. I mean, I picked out three that had the right fabric,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my head. And that I knew I would wear.
Right.
Okay. The other pairs will turn into something else. So I took off the waistband and I added basically the made-to-measure hack.
Yeah.
You know, wide fabric waistband. Now, on one of them, I did a really funny thing, okay? So it had a waistband, but they seemed to be stretchy enough. The problem was when I sat down, they would ride down. So I took the waistband off, inserted a band of, you know,
lycra fabric.
Whatever, yeah. And I also used mesh.
Yeah.
So, you know, mesh on one side. Now, on the one pair that I did this, I made the band, and they had, like, studs in them.
Yeah.
And the studs bother me. The metal bothers my skin. So I took the mesh past my waistband.
Oh.
Okay. Sewed it down on the side seams in the front. And it, yeah, it's worked out.
So, that's how some of those, like, tummy control
jeans
were.
Yeah, it was kind of like a tummy control, but for me it was more
just
a
cover
stay up,
metal.
Don't hurt your back, and cover the metal
cover
control.
The metal. Which fabric did you use? Do you know?
It was a performance stretch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was something I made I make leggings out of.
I was
going to
say, this
time.
Stuff.
And I use black. You know, it doesn't match. Like, it doesn't match the denim.
But your shirts, do they go over?
Yeah. And I can't think of any shirts I tuck in.
You don't tuck in, yeah.
Even my tight shirts, I wear them close to my body. They go over. And one reason is, again, I don't like that bulk at my back.
Yeah.
If I tuck something in pants, and I know this sounds crazy, guys, but I even said this to a pain specialist. I'm like, I can't wear jeans. He goes, that's one of the questions we ask people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, so you're not alone.
So I'm not like crazy all by myself.
Well, that's just one of the medical things that isn't unique to you, right?
Right. I mean, no, you begin to question yourself. Why can't I wear these pants?
Well, I feel like a lot of the time you'll say something to Dr. That's interesting, or not many people present with that, but the jeans thing, no.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep going with some other people's stuff. Oh no, you haven't talked about your dog and your boat. Real quick, you want to just tell us about dog boat stuff?
It is a dog boat too.
Dog boat.
Why
didn't you name it dog boat? The boat. The boat should be named dog boat.
I wanted to name the dog
boat.
Moondoggy, because the boat is Moon Dancer. So I went and named the dog Moondoggy. But dog collars. Okay, I have all these dog collars that I want to refashion in a certain way to work in the way I'm training my dog.
Cool.
So,
dog collar mods.
Yes. And then, I wrote something. Oh, I see. This is also a dog thing, and I want to talk about this one. I just talked about sometimes what my time is worth.
Yes.
Versus, do I make this?
Yeah.
Right? And this is a seat cover for the car that you use with the dog.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it goes in the back seat, this particular one. It goes in the back seat. It actually, also, if you have an SUV, can go be turned around and used in the, what I call the way back.
Yeah.
Right. So... It hooks over the headrest, comes down over the back, you know, the back of the back seat, and then to the seat of the back seat. And it protects your car, which is a good thing because my dog puked in my car yesterday. And I have one.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I need another one for the other car, and the one also I have is kind of wearing out. And I'm like, I wonder what the commercial ones look like, right? And I thought I'd go and get some ideas. And I'm looking at these, and I can get one of these for like $25, $30, right? Now, this includes zippers,
yeah,
clasps,
buckles,
webbing,
yeah, buckles,
waterproof,
right?
Right, waterproof fabric, anchors that go between the seats to hold. Okay, now I can make this. I've done this before. I can make this. And it's $25 or $30, and I'm like, maybe I need to be ordering this so I can make something else that's not so easily accessible.
Well, yeah.
Right? And then, okay, this is how my mind unworks things. So then I'm going through this, and then I see this diagram of this seat cover that they're trying to sell me, and it's got all the measurements. I'm like, oh, I'll just make it off of that. And I'm like, no.
No, ZD.
I'm not making it. I don't think I can buy the fabric for $25.
Well, and there's a very good reason that companies buying thousands of
exactly.
yards.
Exactly. And
the fabric,
they're buying, you
right?
know, millions of buckles and zippers.
Okay, and you might need two of those for one car for one trip, because if she like pukes on the way to the vet and then she's gotta come back home.
I know,
from the
I
vet,
just made her lay in it.
Right? No.
What she did yesterday, she puked. I cleaned it up. I always have an extra cover.
Yeah.
I threw it on top, and she's still, but my seat was protected.
Yes.
I'm not worried about the dog. I can wash her.
Right.
I don't want my car, you know, to smell like vomit. Well, and mud. You know, like we're real rainy. What if we were out and she was jumping in the car? You know,
right.
You're trying to save your car seat.
Okay. You know, let's save your boat stuff for like a boat episode because I just think that would be good episode. Maybe some good broadcasts too, which we are going to be getting back around to. By the time this podcast airs, will have gotten my second shot. So I'm probably not feeling very well right now while you're listening to this. I didn't feel so hot after the first one. Totally worth it. Very excited. And so we are able to have a little more flexibility in our lives. And I'm very excited for that. So anyway.
I feel guilty about my immune system because, you know, Hillary didn't do well after the shot. You did. I mean, I think like you guys may have inherited crappy immune system that overreacts to things. You know, makes me a little tinge of guilt there.
Thanks a lot, Mom. Yeah. You know, okay. Well, it's okay. I forgive you. Stephanie says, I just dropped some serious dollars to me on the Cashmerette blazer kit. Please, for the love of Welt Pockets, make sure it gets made. Well, full disclosure, do some work for Cashmerette. So I've been in on this blazer, and there is a YouTube tutorial on how to sew a single. There's lots of different types of welt pockets, and this one is an angled single welt pocket, right? Is it single angled or angled single? What do you think?
Single angled welt
pocket. I think it's single angled too.
That's how I'd say it.
Okay.
Know.
Well, whatever. So anyway, no
crepe
excuse.
Back satin back crepe.
Silk dupioni, dupioni silk.
Yeah.
Stephanie, you've got no excuse on the welt pocket. And then I hope that I get to do this as a blog post and a podcast, but it'll be a couple months from now. So
you can actually see a tutorial from the sanctum of the studio.
That's right.
On a welt
pocket.
That's
right. I had to move a bunch of stuff to get like the opening shot and I have a bunch of stuff in the background. We don't have, you know, our studio is it's very functional and we have, you know, things everywhere.
Yeah,
we don't have some big
blank
wall.
You know
those
things you see on TV where they have like a dress form in the back and it's draped beautifully and they've got a safety pin hanging on the wall. No, we got stuff you use.
Yeah, I got like things all over the walls. And it wouldn't have looked like bad, but anyway. And then I was like, how can I just blur all of this out? Stay very still so that you can blur the background. Okay, so I hope that I can do this in a few months. So I've made the Morris blazer. Like long ago, the grain line Morris blazer, trying to make the Jessica, and then I would like to also make the Cashmerette Auburn blazer. And so I'll get to compare all three blazers.
I just want Jessica,
and a Jessica, my blazer.
Jessica, your blazer.
I think that the Auburn actually, maybe I've got a little bias here, it's middle of the road. Like, Morris is not tailored. It's not lined. I'm actually, I think the neckline's a little bit funny.
Didn't you learn some things on
it? Oh, I learned things on it. Yeah. So it's not lined, but it can still be, like, a nice addition to the wardrobe, right? And, like, Jessica, so in the world of indie patterns, I'd say it's, like, got a lot of tailoring things. It has a collar, like a separate collar stand from the collar.
Yeah.
And it's got like, you could have three welt pockets on that, depending on what you choose, some things like that. And then Auburn's right in the middle there. That shawl collar, the rolled collar, you know, is one piece. There's just one type of welt pocket on it. It is lined, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think actually this is like sweet spot time commitment for me. This one, not the Jessica, but I still think I'll learn a lot making the Jessica blazer. So hopefully I get to make the Auburn in some spare time here. Stephanie, you can do it. And then Paula says, just working through my stash. All right.
Well, that's
nice. Well, I love it. She just posted some.
That also can be inspirational.
Yeah, she just posted some, a shirt in some L.A. Finch fabric. So, Paula, I just tried to make a shirt in L.A. Finch fabric, and you did make a shirt in L.A. Finch fabric. Sharon says, make clothing from my rigid heddle weaving. Stop buying yarn and fabric. Use from my stash. Well, this is one sewing goal I've accomplished is not to buy a loom.
I thought you had one in your garage.
Well, that, yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, that one doesn't count.
That's free. It was free. Someone was giving that away. But, like, I'm talking about, I think the loom I want would be, like, $1,200 or something, where you can keep making an infinite length of fabric, right? You know, I don't know anything about weaving. Don't listen to me. But yeah, I got kind of interested at the beginning of the pandemic. And I was like, oh, maybe I should weave. And I have been like, listen, you don't have time for that right now. Okay,
I would really like to take a poll. I mean, everyone who's thought, I'll have all this extra time in the pandemic. We didn't have extra time. But is it because there were small children? I don't know what it was. I mean, I felt like I had less time.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are certain things.
It was harder to get things like, you know, food. And I mean,
some things, too. And the pandemic for me has just taken a huge mental toll.
Well, that's huge. True. Well, and I think that's so most people.
You know, it's not a number. It's not just a numbers
game.
It
wasn't fun.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, you have this much time. And I'm finally kind of adjusting to some of the changes we've had to make. And then things are going to change again. And that's fine.
Well, you know, now but, instead of FOMO, there's FOGO. It's fear of going out.
Yeah. Well,
so people, I actually have a friend that I think she might have that. I'm worried about her not getting out.
Well, I'm still, I guess, haven't done many new things. But part of me, when I think about certain things, I do. I get a little like, ooh, I'm not supposed to be doing that. Because that used to be how
I don't feel like I've gone out a lot more.
Uh-huh.
Well, I did. I started going to the gym.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a very controlled situation. That's about the only thing new I've done. But I feel safer going out, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't done any more going out. Well, but I feel safer going out.
You know, and everybody's got like a different level of what they've been doing. I think what I've observed from my friends and everything, we're on like the pretty darn cautious end of the spectrum.
Well, I think the other thing too, though,
which isn't good or bad.
Different.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I was fortunate in is there were a lot of things I liked to do that were kind of socially isolated, like paddleboarding. No, I mean, you know, well, I didn't have to stop paddleboarding as long as I didn't start out in a big group of people.
And not everyone had the same kinds of choices either. So
exactly.
There's so many.
That's
things
what I mean.
Going
there's just
there.
There's just everybody's in a different situation.
Okay. So Melanie says, does the Roman blind material, lovely, lovely material, I cut and pinned 3 years ago that glares at me balefully whenever I enter the room, spare room, count? It's autumn here and the curtains need to go back up again soon. If I don't do it soon, it will be yet another winter of staring at the curtain I hate sitting on that window. But Roman blinds are so hard. Yeah.
I think they're monotonous. I love them, but when you go to make, especially if you have a lot of windows or a big window,
it's like,
it's like, oh, I got to do this 15 times, you know. Like,
right. Yeah. Melanie, I believe in you.
You can do it, Melanie.
You can do it. You can do it. Diane says, learning to fit pants for a pot belly and flat butt, ugh. And Stephanie.
Just turn them back around.
Yeah,
backwards.
There you go. Sometimes we have done that for people because it'll just, if you get that curve. Now, I hope that our pants drafting class is going to help with this, especially, you know, I feel like bellies are just not in the fabric.
Accommodated.
They're not like in the drafting lexicon. They just pretend there's no bellies.
So in drafting I've told classes. You the story about my mother before, but and her family is known for not having a butt.
Right.
Okay. Like they have these flat butts. And of course, you know, we're talking about the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s here. Like people weren't particularly wearing zippered placket up the front,
right?
You know, pants.
Uh-huh.
Women's trousers had zippers like on the sides and the back. You know, you couldn't count on them being in the same place or whatever. And she used to say to me, "Show me what's the front, show me what's the back." And I go, "Well, put them on." She goes, "I can wear them either way."
Oh.
I mean, you know, it was just because honestly, her belly was bigger than her butt.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I hope I can get this all out and go in and get a few different shaped bellies going on in that class for measurement purposes. Denise says, finish my Parisian jacket and try on my Victorian corset mock-up to alter the bust godets.
Oh my goodness.
oh man, a corset, like I want to make one day for me, I think, maybe, I don't know. And Denise recently shared her beautiful matching bound buttonholes on her Parisian jacket in the group.
Was
very
beautiful.
That was
almost freaky.
I know. Well, actually, cool. I think I've like looked at it. I don't think I have very good eyesight.
No,
I think,
at first I'm like, what button?
Yeah, like, what are you showing
what
me?
What do you mean? This
it was
a piece
beautiful.
Of fabric here.
Beautiful, Denise. Beautiful, Denise. Also, apparently it's not Godet. If you look it up on the internet.
It's Godet?
It's got it. I'm saying Godet. I'm just gonna. I looked it up. It's like, I looked up, you know, G-O-D-E-T pronunciation. And in English, that's like how it's pronounced.
Waiting for Godet. Waiting for Godet. Get it?
That's
got it?
Godet. Well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to pronounce anything, you know? But I'm going to keep saying Godet. So you don't have to email about that. Connie says work to improve my skills. So that's a nice, that's a broad goal. Oh my gosh, I'm going to save that one for last. Mickey, warp my loom. Kinda a sheep to shawl project, except it's cotton to skirt. Ooh, exciting. So, Mickey, I would love to live vicariously through you and your loom. Whilst I don't have the time to take up such the hobby of weaving, I would love to see what you are doing. Simona, are you... I already looked it up.
I got Godet, yeah.
Yeah, got it. You,
no,
can you play
it's
it?
It's Godet.
Play it. There's like a video that I looked up.
Godet.
Oh, that's different than the other video.
It says Godet.
Godet? Mm-hmm. I think I found another video. Well, that just shows you like there are different ways to pronounce things. Okay.
And it says the origin is French.
So the origin's French and it's from the verb godet. Okay, so the verb is G-O-D-E-R and it means to make a crease or fold. And like in French, that verb, the infinitive, is godet. So I'm just going to keep saying it. Whatever. It's like ballet, in my opinion.
Here's Godet. It's here. It has it both ways. It has Godet and Godet. Mm-hmm.
Well, language is fluid and always changing, right?
That's from Merriam-Webster.
Okay.
It's Godet and Godet.
Simona says, I want to approach learning to make buttonholes the same way that I learned to change a flat by setting aside an afternoon to do it over and over and over. Probably should use the same strategy for getting the hang of serger adjustments. Simona, have you listened and looked at our buttonhole podcast and blog post? Because that could, hopefully, it is life-changing.
People say it's life-changing.
Also, you know how I learned to change a flat tire? I'll tell you. I was home by myself with my two small children, and my tire was flat, and I had to change it. And I'd never changed a flat tire before. So I looked at the owner's manual, and it was like 90 degrees outside. And so I just like left my kids inside and told them to come out if they really needed me.
I would have YouTubed it, but except that I know how to change a tire.
Well, it was really easy. It wasn't super hard. The owner's manual, everything lined up, you know, with that. So yeah, I that's how I learned to change a flat tire. Also, I did it on a Toyota Prius, which maybe made things a little easier. I think I could have just lifted the car at the same time that I put the tire on. I was like, this is the lightest car out there. Like I was like, yeah, I probably could have just lifted it and popped on the new tire.
When the weekend after I got my driver's license, my father made me learn how to change a tire. I had to change a tire for him. I had to get my spark plug.
I don't even know what that means.
And, right. I know you don't. And give and set the timing in my car and learn to drive a stick in one weekend. And he said, now you're a driver.
You are. I am not. I would be fine if someone was like, are you a driver? Yeah. I'd be like, no. I think we're going to have to upgrade our computer. And I was like looking at the computers and I'm like, this computer will be worth 5 times, 10 times what my car is worth because my car is like 20 years old.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that just shows you where my priorities are.
We used to have like cameras that were worth more than our car, things like that. Yeah.
I hope if I can get this car 3 more years, it will be 20.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm trying.
Well, in college, didn't you? You had a car that was almost the same age as you, wasn't
it?
No,
I don't think it was. Well,
no.
Would it have been 5 years less than me? It was a 94.
Oh, it was 5 years less?
Yeah.
I thought it was closer than that.
So it was a 94.
I thought it was like 2 years.
No, I think I'm almost certain. It was a 94. This one I'm talking about right now is a 2004. Now, the Prius is a 2010, the one I can maybe lift up with one hand.
you know the tractor that we had before, right. This tractor was the same age as Jerry, yes. And I. It was, yes, built in 1953, yes. And it didn't have a brake, so you had to know how to drive a stick because that's how you stopped
it. That's how you did
it.
Yeah. Okay, Lisa says, winter pants. I have a really minimalist wardrobe, so when one pair of pants wears out, I need a new pair. I just don't want to. This is my problem.
I was going to say, but I am in awe of her.
Yeah, good for you.
Yes.
So I have, like, the problem, but it's not as noble as yours.
Exactly.
So I don't have a minimalist wardrobe, but I'll make one thing that I really love and be like, I'm good. I'll just wear this one, yep, thing out and wash it every day. Yes. You know? So Lisa, my advice to you from my perspective is make two pairs of winter pants.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially because you always have to have, I mean, you should have a backup.
You should have a backup. That won't take up too much room, like one more pair, right? You know?
I don't think having a backup changes you being a minimalist.
Right.
I think it's being prepared.
I think you can still, you won't be taking up too much space.
What if you had to run out and buy something that you didn't really want? That would be unminimalist.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Love that. Okay. So Lisa, we're impressed by you. Sam says, contractors are done. Walls have been painted pleasantly plum. Ooh. Mm. Sewing stuff from around the house has been hauled in. Next goal, edit down the items. Sort tools, fabric, etc. into work zones. Buy appropriate storage. Complete the organization. In summary, set up my sewing space. Oh, that's exciting.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Nancy says, try to say no to alterations requests. Oh, Nancy.
Nancy.
Just, we can help you.
We
just forward them to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll tell them where to go.
Or just copy some of those discussions, like screenshot some of the discussions in the Facebook page and just send them on.
What is she? Oh, hold on. I'm going to read the whole comment, though. She says, try to say no to alterations requests. I love doing them. Aw, well, that's good. That's nice. And no one within 50 miles does them. Ah, that's hard.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly busy with hemming, installing new zips, hemming prom dresses, altering bridal wear, and today I sewed elastic onto compression socks with the toes cut out. Oh my gosh. I really want to say to sew only for myself, and I can't seem to say no. We live in a small town and know everyone, so it's hard. Oh man, Nancy. Well, maybe you just need to be like,
I have now an arthritic thumb. You could get one of those.
Yeah. Or maybe you could, if you set yourself, like, I'll only take two projects a week, and someone comes to you with their compression socks with the toes cut out, you can be like, I'll be able to take these on May 1st.
That's true.
Or something like that.
Very true.
So if you, like, pace yourself, then you won't get overwhelmed. That's so sweet of you. I have a local alterations person's number memorized.
Yes.
I don't know if I can remember the other one, but I've got Nora Drown's memorized.
Yep.
I won't say it over the podcast, but if you were to email me and ask me to sew something for you, I would be just typing right back. I know exactly her number. So, you know, and more for me, it's, I don't know, if tomorrow I had to take in alterations for, like, I don't think it's a bad profession or anything like that.
How do you think your harp got paid for?
Right. You know, it's not that.
Alterations paid for her harp.
It's
yes.
not. I thought you sold one of your sewing machines.
I did.
To pay for the harp.
That and alterations. Took both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a bad thing. And I know we complain about them, but, like, it's just not something ZD and I, like, super duper enjoy
I think, you know, we did it a lot. I mean, I think it's a phase that we are finished with. I mean, if I took alterations now, so many other things would be left undone.
Right.
It's just, you know, and we also, through our business, did meet people that we felt confident in referring people to.
Right. Yeah, there's the other reason, sometimes people will be like, well, can you just do this one special thing for me? And the problem with that is I've just got such a full plate already that I've taken those things in the past and then not gotten them done in a timely manner, and I hate it.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, you know, they're like, hey, is that done yet? Oh, no rush. And I'm like, oh, I just got to
get it. That's that pressure. The other thing. People say no rush. That means not right now. It means they want it in 2 days.
Well, yeah.
You know, they're no rush versus you're no rush is totally something different.
So it's just better for all of us if I refer them to Nora, who sometimes listens to the podcast. So hello, Nora, if you're listening. Erica says, I have had a knit fabric I've been wanting to make a dress with in my fabric cabinet for literal years. I don't even have the RTW dress I was going to copy it off of anymore. One day I need to just do it. Yeah, maybe find a pattern that you think will, you know, do the trick
and get going.
Close
to it.
Robin says, linings, best fabric for linings, when to forego a lining, what does the lining add, colors, problems with lining, especially sleeves, should the lining be slightly smaller? I think we've got a podcast on linings.
There's a lot of questions because
we're not going to be able to answer all those.
Linings got, is supposed to be bigger.
Right.
Like, so no, there depends on what you're lining, depends on what you're lining, depends on the fabric you're using. Depends on why you're lining it.
So Robin's question might be a good follow-up lining podcast. Because I think our lining podcast, I'll have to look.
We'll have to listen to it.
It was more about lining for like warmth or something.
Was
Someone
it?
Had asked a question.
Because there
these are
more,
good
there's
questions.
More in one, than one reason to line something.
That's right, yeah.
And sometimes you're only lining it for one reason. Sometimes you're lining it for two or three of those reasons.
So, Robin, we... we're
going
to add that to the list here. Linings. And I'll copy your comment. Okay. This podcast is 53 minutes long. And we are going to finish it strong here with a big sewing goal that someone has.
I see. There's a lot of
are you ready?
Narrative there. Yes.
Are you ready? My goal is to take up the hem on my granddaughter's prom gown. It is due mid-May. It has 7 layers. One is charmeuse lining. Next 3 are crinolines. Next 3 are fashion fabrics. Of various shears. Top shear has 3 randomly placed, magnificent, large beaded appliques, one of which will have to be moved around. Next layer has a 3-inch wide shaped horsehair band and is also sheer with small metallic dots that barely show through the top shear layer. Third layer is another sheer, a little crinkly, with another wide band of horsehair braid shaped. The skirt is a triple circular one with not much gathering at the waist, and a train in the back that I need to remove. It needs to be roughly 5 inches shorter, and the hem is extremely wide, at least several yards. I need to measure just for curiosity. Can I cry now, or should I wait? Oh, it came from a place like Kleinfeld's, but Boston version. And that's the Say Yes to the Dress place, right? Isn't
right.
that? Okay. I need all the support and input I can get to reach this goal. Everything else is put aside until I get this done. Yikes.
Take it one layer at a time.
So take off that applique one night, right? Just take that applique
off. I would just do it. I'd be real.
Mary,
I would get as mellow as I could and do that.
Mary,
yeah.
The shaped horsehair, when you say shaped horsehair.
I think she means that it gives it a stiffness, I guess.
Well, I don't. Okay. So horsehair is sort of flexible. In like the stuff you add to the hem, the way it's woven,
right,
it will easily conform so that down near the bottom of the hem, it's a bit wider. And then as it goes up in the garment, it can get a little narrower because she's talking about this like circular skirt. So like the horsehair, if she removes it and puts it back in, it's going to conform.
I don't think it'll be difficult at all.
That's exactly what I was wondering and thinking.
It won't be difficult at all.
Yeah.
I would take the horsehair out.
Uh-huh.
Draw a line where it needed to be next, you know, at the hem or whatever. I wouldn't cut any of it off or measure. I'd just start laying it down and cut it off at the end when I was sewing it.
Yeah.
Don't try and fit it to the shape first. Right.
Right. So as long as you...
I think you should have just made the dress. Like...
So as long as... But you're saying as long as you just sew that horse hair braid to the hem... It's going to like kind of conform and then just cut it off when you get in the round. And
right. I would assume you're going to. So this is what I assume you're going to do. You sew it to the right side and you make like a 1/4-inch seam there, you know.
Right.
Okay. And then when you fold it up, that whole seam is going to go under. And the horsehair just gets like tacked at the seams.
Right.
Okay. I don't know how.
We'll see. Yeah.
I don't know how wide this horsehair is. You know, it could be 4 inches wide. It could be 6 inches wide. It could be 1.5 inches wide. Yeah. But you just tack it to the seams. And it has the weave. It's weird.
You don't have to like
it. Like
shape
collapses
it.
On itself.
Yeah. You don't have to like shape it.
No, you
I guess.
Don't shape it. It does the shape.
It does it
so
for you.
So you're just. And. Now, it may be that this skirt is big enough, she may have to tack it in more than just the seams. But, you know, a lot of times if you're, you can literally just do the side seams.
The crinolines. The crinolines.
Yeah. And when she says crinoline, I'm not sure exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm scared because people say crinoline and crinoline is a kind of fabric, and then crinoline is also a type of garment, like
so
a kind
if,
of
like if it's just layers of tulle, you get to cut those off with your scissors.
Yes, kind of.
But if it's some kind of tiered petticoat, you gotta lift it so that the hem doesn't
depends.
You gotta yes, just depend. Depends. Yeah, depending on yep. how much you need to take it up.
And if you're lifting it, okay, I would just take that seam apart. Lift it up how many and leave that excess hanging under there if it doesn't show. Does that make sense?
It made sense to me.
Okay. So if it's tiered, you would take off the bottom tier, right? Mark it up your 5 inches.
Yeah.
Right? And just top stitch it right onto that tier that you took it off of, only 5 inches higher or whatever. And there you go. You don't even have to. Now, if it's just tulle, sometimes, I mean, you could be just talking about cutting it.
That's what I was, right. You get to kind of.
But there is a specific fabric, like when you go in and ask for crinoline. Okay?
It's a fabric,
it's a very
too.
Stiff kind of woven tulle-ish kind of thing.
And then the other thing that might help you, Mary, is to have a way, you need a way to, like, hang this dress from the ceiling or something.
Yep. I have known people that will hang it from like a ceiling fan. Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
If it gets turned on, you're in trouble. You tape the switch. Right. Like a lot, you know, or make sure no one can move that switch. So that's something you can do. A plant hanger sometimes is in the ceiling.
There you go.
You know, it may be worth it to put a plant hanger in the ceiling because it is very hard to work on this if it is not hanging above the ground.
And then the other thing is, so she's taking off the train, so she's not going to be like blending the front hem to the back, kind of what like we've talked about in that bridal zigzagger broadcast.
And the train, I would assume, is only the top couple layers.
Yeah.
Or one layer. But usually the crinoline is not under the train.
All of those, the fabrics that are fabrics, if it's not just tulle that gets to be cut off, I'd recommend, now I know Mary's an experienced sewist, but our tiny hem tutorial video that we have, if you Google tiny hems with ZD, and if it is, it's prom dress season and people are doing prom all sorts of different ways right now.
Well,
and if you need to hem a prom dress, you need to Google tiny hems with ZD.
And the charmeuse she's talking about, I think she said something. Sometimes
you just serge it.
I just do a rolled hem or a three thread narrow.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's not showing, and sometimes you're better off without the fold or whatever, and you can put a pretty thread on it.
Yeah,
even.
If it's like that inner, if I don't know if it is because I'm getting a little confused.
Right.
But if it is,
this is a lot of dress.
If it is that innermost layer, and it's just there to like you know, so you can't see through all the sheer stuff, and those inner layers should probably be a little shorter.
Yeah, and remember this. Whoever she's going to prom with will probably step on the hem of the dress like 10 minutes after they're together. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, bon courage.
Yeah.
For sure.
And don't, you know, it's possible and you'll be her hero after it gets done.
Well, and it sounds like an epic dress.
It does.
We'd love to see a
picture.
So
you could take a picture of her in it and ask her permission to be on the Facebook group.
Yeah, I would love
group.
To just get a visual even of just the skirt, you know, part of it. So,
or you could have you crying into the all the layers.
There
that
you
would
go.
Be a good picture.
No, I don't envy you, Mary. It's not something that I would have wanted to take on. If you are a Zigzag member, the last broadcast that we got to do was that wedding dress, and it wasn't even... It wasn't no. seven
well,
layers.
The
it was
one
still
thing
a pain.
We know, Mary is sewing this with love.
That's
there's
right.
There's no other reason to do it.
That's right. Okay. Well, we will check in on you all in a few weeks, and hopefully, I'll get the neckline on the Rhapsody figured out. Rhapsody Raglan, and maybe ZD will have gotten a few of her goals realized. One of your goals is just like to order those things, right? So that's
you mean the seat cover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you clicked the add to cart button yet?
I haven't.
Okay.
The problem is there's so many
I'll
now.
I'll hold you accountable.
Oh, yeah, and now there's so many. I'm like, which one do I get? It's like, right? Or do one or do I buy two? Because the one I have is wearing out.
Yeah, I hate that. That is the analysis.
I do know I'm going to get black, okay?
You're going to get a black color. The seat cover will be black. Okay, yeah. Good to know. Good to know. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. And we are here for you. You can do it, especially if you just like listen to the podcast. You can sew at the same time. And you can email me at mallory@sewhere.com if you have any questions. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.